Now, as I mentioned before, fascinating new book that looks at how we used to look for love in Ireland, and indeed how we still do, the whole dating scene in Ireland and how it has changed down through the years, has just been released. It is called Courting, with a subtitle of Tractor Dates, Macra Babies and Swiping Right in Rural Ireland. Its author is Leithan Hines, and she's on the line now to talk some more about this. Leithan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for having me, Deirdre. Lovely to talk to you.
Now, first of all, a funny one. You would probably say courting, but just to let you know, down here in Kerry, they would say courting.
Oh, I've been told. Yeah.
So it'll just tell you how things have changed. There's a generation, of course, Leithan, who wouldn't have a clue what courting or courting meant, because it's a curious word, isn't it?
Yeah, although I'm not sure I totally agree with that. I think everyone, and it was one of the reasons why we wanted the word courting or courting, was because it both suggests to people, you know, instantly you know the world you're in about meeting people and relationships and trying to find someone, but it's very specifically Irish. So, you know, I think it kind of suggested the two, that this is about Ireland, but it's also about dating. And we've had a really gorgeous response to the title, which has been so lovely to see.
Absolutely. And really and truly, we actually do a dating slot here on the programme with Intro Matchmaking. But I'm aware of the fact that in addition to matchmaking, there's also, of course, the whole Tinder generation. And young people nowadays, there's a lot of dating done online and via
Absolutely.
Your phone. So we've really come a full 360 on this, haven't we?
So that was kind of the starting point of the book, was that in the last, exactly like you say, kind of 15 years or so, how we meet people has changed wherever we live in terms of trying to find a partner. And, you know, there's a feeling that you hear a lot of stories that are about urban settings, about online dating, but not so much about what's happening in rural areas, and that it would be interesting to look at that. And the starting point was almost kind of a logistical one of like, okay, if you're using dating apps and you're living in a smaller community or a more isolated community, how's that working? So like, are you much more likely to bump into people you know online on the apps more quickly? Are you more likely to have to expect to travel if you meet someone, to have to set your parameters much more broadly? And then what I kind of got into is the book opens with a piece about a dating website called Muddy Matches, which was set up in the mid, kind of 2006, around the time that the apps were slowly beginning to become a thing and online dating in general was becoming a little bit more mainstream. And it was set up by two sisters who had grown up in rural England. And they kind of got this sense that, you know, one of them was online dating. She said, I'm not meeting anyone who's from a rural area. And they kind of realized there was this gap in the market for a dating platform that connected people who really prioritized rural living and who genuinely understood it as well. And so they set up this website shortly after it started getting emails from people in Ireland going, when are we getting our kind of branch of this? And they ran a speed dating event in Carlow in 2009, got a huge response. And so they now have, you know, their online facility for people in Ireland. And they really kind of cottoned on to that thing which I found when I was speaking to some people over the kind of almost 2 years of writing this book, was that feeling that people wanted somebody who understood the lifestyle that was very important to them, and that was so often tied into the place that they were from or the place they had chosen to move. And that might be, you know, it might be pace of life related. It might be that they were in farming. It might be, you know, I spoke to one lady who had moved from Dublin to an island, having visited an island as a teenager and thought, wow, I love this. She then moved back as an adult. So within the kind of online dating, which, to be honest, for everyone I spoke to, it is now the primary way people expect to meet someone, is on the app. Nobody loves it, but everyone kind of accepts it. But then that there was, you know, things like, that's called a niche dating app, where that's for a specific set of interests or communities. You know, you can have niche dating apps that are for people who have red hair, for people of a certain religion, of a certain, you know, there's a dating app for people who work in the death industry. But it's that kind of, I suppose, you know, online anything can be a bit terrifying, and you're always trying to find maybe like that sense of safety or something. And so the niche dating apps kind of provide that, like, here are people who have similar interests or background to you.
Yeah, exactly. And did you conclude, Leithan, after doing all this research, that it's a lot harder nowadays to meet somebody?
I mean, I think it's probably, I don't know that it's ever been easy to meet somebody. What somebody did say to me about online dating really early on, and this really stuck, was she felt that it had encouraged this sense of disposability. That she felt, say, the men she was talking to had kind of several conversations on the go, and she felt that that made it more difficult to meet somebody, in the sense that there was almost too much choice, and had kind of encouraged this culture of, like I say, she used the word disposable. So maybe that kind of makes it harder. But then on the other hand, again, like anything on the internet, there's good and bad. You know, especially if you're living in a smaller community, online dating means you have access to people you would never have met before, you know, so there is that side to it. And I spoke to a woman called Dr. Nicola Fox Hamilton, whose area of research is online dating, and she said, you know, it's a funny one. On the one hand, people don't love online dating and they don't enjoy it, but they will also speak positively in terms of it will often get you the outcome in the end. You know, there can be a lot of trying of what you want, which is the relationship.
Yeah, if you persist with it. But coming back to way, way before online dating, back in the days of courting or whatever you want to call it, you must have interviewed a good few older people as well who remember when things were very different.
Yeah, and there was people talking about going to dances, and obviously Mokra came up hugely as somewhere, and that's where we got in the subtitle, as you were saying there, so Mokra babies. So that's from one of the guys I spoke to, the 23-year-old farmer. He's considered a Mokra baby, by which I mean his parents met in Mokra. And it was lovely, because when himself and his sister started attending their local branch, and they came home that evening, and their parents were kind of quizzing them on who was there, and was, oh, that's so-and-so's child. And, you know, it was like the next generation.
Yeah.
So his parents had met at Mokra, and that was, you know, and as anyone who follows Mokra branches on Instagram, you know, each branch has a gorgeous account, you'll often see pictures of people who met through the branch and now they're getting married and that kind of thing. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I suppose as well, you know, things have changed in terms of, you know, drink driving and that kind of thing. So what I noticed was a lot of people, you know, I think during the pandemic in an urban setting, suddenly everyone was going on a date where they were going for a walk. This was something that a lot of people I spoke to had been doing this for quite a while. And part of that was that they were people who kind of had a love of the outdoors and genuinely liked that as a date. So yeah, a lot of things have changed over the years about with regard to how people meet.
Does Kerry feature at all in the book, or were you able to talk to anyone from Kerry?
It does. Yeah, no, it features in a couple of stories. So there's Aideen, who actually is the Kerry Rose at the moment, and her story is about I knew of him is the chapter, and that was a phrase that kept coming up when people I spoke to, you know, and I it was kind of meant in a sense of almost a sense of safety, you know, this is somebody I knew. And Aideen talked about, you know, meeting her boyfriend. They both worked in local Super Value, and when they broke up for a time, she moved to Dublin because she's in media, and you know, that was where the work was. Pre-pandemic, there was absolutely no way she would have been able to stay where she grew up, and everyone was saying to her, you need to get on Tinder, and she couldn't get her head around, you know, going on a date with someone that she knew absolutely nothing about. And she talked about how, you know, she knew her boyfriend's family and she knew his mother, and it wasn't that there was anything major to know, but just that sense of knowing people and having the same, I suppose, references, you know, having grown up together, and they're now back together, and because of, you know, how working from home has impacted stuff, she's now back living on her family farm with clients all over the world, you know, a bigger career than she's ever had. That was Aideen. Then there was Timmy, who's another man who's living in Kerry, and he was, amongst everyone I spoke to, Timmy was the only person who actively preferred dating apps rather than, say, meeting somebody in the pub. And he liked the communication, and he said he had lived in Canada for a while, and there, he said, it's very normal to kind of talk almost for 2 weeks, really get to know someone before you meet them, and he didn't like the thing of meeting in the pub and that kind of thing. And then there was John, actually, who was a former Mr. Personality in Mokra, also from Kerry, and John talked really beautifully about, like, a lot of the men I spoke to, and communication came up as an issue in terms of the apps, and how they felt this kind of pressure to almost perform when they were talking to women online. And this, you know, and John, who, like I say, he's Mr. Personality, he could talk to anyone, you know, he talked about how he loved meeting people in real life at Mokra events, and he found, you know, and that came up with a lot of people I spoke to, that the difficulty of communicating on the apps. So there's several Kerry stories in there.
Oh, very good. Well, listen, it sounds like you've covered all the bases, Leighlan. Oh, by the way, just before we let you go, I couldn't let you go without mentioning that staple of Irish romance, the slow set. I hope it gets a mention somewhere in the book, does it? Back in my day.
It was crucial, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we'll find references to the slow set as well. Listen, Lydon, it sounds like a really, really interesting book, and it's a wonder no one has thought of writing about this before, so well done you, and
I hope
it's a huge success. Thank you so much for
chatting to us. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Lydon Hines there, and her new book, which looks at how we romance in Ireland and how we did back in our grandparents' time when there was courting. Our parents, they say, stepped out, but what is the current generation doing to find love? Is it all happening online or is it still happening offline? Well, do let us know if you've any thoughts on that, and if you want to check out the book by Lydon Hines, it's called Courting. And just to give it its subtitle as well, Courting, Tractor Dates, Macra Babies and Swiping Right in Rural Ireland. And it's out now.